Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Folks, we broadcast live every weeknight, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be. And, of course, right on Blog Talk Radio as well. And live nightly on YouTube. Don't forget our two websites, HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com. The latter, of course, is for show information. That's Hagman and Hagman.com. HagmanReport.com is for show prep, news information, and then analysis. We're working through some technical things, and we're going to be broadcasting audio tonight. And tomorrow we should be back up with video. Tomorrow night we're going to have Steve Quayle on, along with Ross Powell. Hour two and hour three is going to be Steve Quayle. So it's all good. It's going to be good tonight. We've got Flip Benham on in the second segment. And Pastor David Langford, of course, will be our regular Wednesday guest every Wednesday, last hour. He's going to be coming on the last hour. It's Pastor David Langford, hour three, Pastor Flip Benham, hour two, and, of course, we have hour number one here. Pastor Langford is on the road. He's going to be talking about some interesting things. Division. So it's going to be one of the subjects we're going to be talking about with Pastor Langford, division. And you know, it's saddened. I'm saddened to see the division within the body. I'm saddened to see the division among the conservatives. I'm saddened to see the divisiveness that's taking place within the families, within social cliques, within groups of people, within companies, within neighborhoods, within cities, communities, everywhere. But it's bound to happen. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it all. I'm tired of these milquetoast idiots out there, morons, by definition, technically, I'm sure, by definition, with room temperature IQs, thinking that, you know, they are doing some great Christian, you know, let me just say this. So if I'm offending anyone, or if I do offend anyone, no apologies from me. I'm unapologetic when I say this, but when you've got people who believe that they're doing God's work by saying, I'm not going to, you know, or I'm going to essentially cast my non-vote, or cast my vote for Clinton, or do something to, you know, to vote my conscience, but by trying to secure the election of a non-viable candidate, knowing how the system of governance in here in America works. If you are doing something, in my view, in my opinion, to have Hillary Clinton elected, then you are facilitating the more rapid demise of the United States. And you are one selfish moron. Can I be any clearer than that? You are selfish by facilitating, in my view, the destruction of the United States by putting in a baby butcher, a Satan worshiping, you talk about a misogynist, Hillary Clinton for president. Her relationship with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, 10 to 25 million in donations, 20% of her campaign finance through Saudi donations. Falling in the Glenn Beck category. I'm done.
Hey,
I'm done.
I don't want to interrupt.
No, interrupt.
You're not in the mood to hear this. Go to HagmanReport.com. And I want to thank whoever in YouTube
Should I mute my mic?
Yes. It doesn't, I mean, it's nothing bad, but there's no site. It takes you to a Google main page. Which the site's been working fine all day. I updated it twice, once in the morning. I put another story up there this afternoon. It was fine.
Huh.
Are you getting the site or are you getting the Google?
I'm deciding whether I should even click on it. How's that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, when you bookmark websites, they have logos next to them. Like YouTube has the red box with the play button in them. Blog Talk's a little blue circle with a white microphone in it. And next to my Hagman Report link, which I have two links, one for the backdoor login, one for the actual page. And now the logo for the login is what it's always been. But the logo for the website is a Google image, like a G. Colored G.
All right, well, we'll get it fixed. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, who knows what happened? Who knows? You know, I mean, it's just one of those things.
Well, usually, so, wouldn't you get a message saying the site's down? Or, and I saw something, Pastor Langford's site. There was something wrong with the server. You can't get on his site, thevoiceofevangelism.com, either.
Welcome to the new normal, I suppose, and how this is, you know, how it plays out. But anyway, we'll get it fixed. Of course, HagmanReport.com is our website. We'll get it fixed, and whatever might be wrong with it. Gee whiz, maybe somebody will type out there, maybe he didn't pay his bill. You know, that makes me laugh, all right, for want of a $50 charge, you know. I remember being accused of that when we were kicked off of GoDaddy. GoDaddy was our hosting company, and they kicked us off because they didn't like our content. Despite me making public the letter, the email from GoDaddy, despite showing proof, it's like, well, you didn't pay your bill, and that became the norm, the meme, the story. So that's just the way that is, of course, and I'm sure people will say something like that. You know, and who knows what it is? Who knows why? But we'll get on it. But see, that's the norm now. It's sad because you've got Christians involved in this self-described Christians involved in this kind of mindset. You've got you've got these people that were once respected, that were once, you know, really good with information, that are just kind of going off the edge lately. And we were told this was gonna happen. So we should not be surprised by it. We should expect it. I mean, look at Megyn Kelly and Newt Gingrich. Neither one do I really care for that much, but there, folks, they had, in case you missed it, there are YouTube videos and videos out there of the two.
They went at it yesterday.
You know, Newt Gingrich, I don't really care for him. I mean, he's a globalist to the max. You've heard Paul McGuire talk about him. But in this case, he was correct. And Megyn Kelly showed her true colors. And of course, Megyn Kelly from Fox News. Sometimes I look at certain women and I'm thinking, can I live with her? In other words, if, you know, could she be my wife? Man, there's just no way. No way. I mean, absolutely no way. For a lot of reasons, with respect to her, I'm just going to stop there because there's nowhere I'm going to go with that statement. Except the bottom line here is these people, and I'm seeing the divisiveness, I'm seeing all of the anger. I really believe, folks, that once the elections are over, we are going to see kind of an abatement of the anger, but we're going to see this resurgence of anger. We're going to see a different kind of anger. And that anger is going to be taken, depending on who wins, it may be taken to the streets. It may be taken elsewhere, but it's going to be, an even more divisive anger. So it's not going to end with the elections. It's just going to be a different kind. And this, I believe, has to do with with the abandonment of our morals and of our integrity, of our principles, of our spirituality. And I think that we're all part of this. We're all responsible to some extent for it. We need to repent. We need to get our spiritual moral compasses back. I just want to give a quick story. I'm going to toss it to Joe. It's at the bottom of the hour. Maria Kanis, author of Prepare for Persecution, is going to come on board for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, the Clintons had taken their honeymoon in Haiti. You know, the Haiti component with respect to the Clinton Foundation. If you haven't researched what the Clinton Foundation did to the country of Haiti, the destruction capitalism that they were engaged in Haiti, the money that they made, you know, it's so interesting when you listen to the left, the progressive, in quotation marks, the Democratic National Communists, the Socialist Communists, whatever, on the left. Oh, well, we built a factory in Haiti. Yeah, you did. Sure you did. Your 60,000, you know, employee factory turned out to be 60,000 and or 6,000 and your, for what? For cheap labor. It had nothing to do with the earthquake. It had, of course, that was planned well before the earthquake in Haiti, but other things that they had done, promised housing, never happened. Instead, built soccer stadiums by special interest groups. The amount of corruption, the destruction capitalism, as it is called, the amount of money made by Bill and Hillary Clinton because of the earthquake and their friends is absolutely staggering. To take advantage of a country like Haiti, it's just absolutely staggering. You know, no wonder government workers are shunning Trump and giving their money to Clinton. I just want to address this because federal government employees are helping Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump. Does this surprise you? Of the roughly $2 million that federal workers from 14 different agencies have spent on presidential politics, about $1.9 million, 95% went to the Democratic nominee's campaign. Now, just really, really quickly, employees, for example, of the Department of Justice. This is a surprise. Hang on to this. Hang on about this. Employees of the Department of Justice, they investigated Clinton's use of the private email server when she was Secretary of State. Yeah, they gave Clinton 97% of their donations. Trump received $8,756 from DOJ employees, compared with $286,797 for Clinton. So did you just hear what I just said? Nine grand to Trump, 290 to Clinton. And I'm rounding up on both. So Clinton received 94% of the donations from the DOJ. Federal government employees overwhelmingly backed Clinton's presidential campaign, no matter what agency. This is reported on The Hill recently. Trump campaign spokesman Jason Miller said these donation patterns are more evidence of the rigged system. You talk about the swamp that is the corruption in D.C. I just didn't have a chance to today. I've been in meetings and on the phone since 7:30 this morning, which has contributed to my ill wind mood. But having said that, I didn't have a chance to identify the gators, the alligators in the swamp that is the corruption inside the District of Columbia. But I intend to, one of which is Huma Abedin, which we talked about yesterday, first hour. Others are forthcoming. But you see, David Schultz, the Trump campaign spokesman, Jason Miller, said these donation patterns are evidence that the system is rigged that favors the establishment candidates like Clinton over outsiders like Trump, for example. Yeah, that's right, it does. So, think about that. Roughly 2 million from federal workers, 14 agencies across the board. So out of 2 million, 1.9 million went to Clinton. Yeah, shouldn't surprise anyone. And again, I'll be identifying the alligators in the swamp that needs to be drained. So,
got some coming up. Some interesting news out of Florida. the elections director of Broward County, Florida, is having private meetings with Hillary Clinton. Her name is Brenda Snipes. And people are asking, does this prove some type of collusion or fraud between the two? InfoWars talked about this earlier today, and I came across somebody snapped a photo of the two of them together, which is just goes to continue to show the what you were just talking about, the elitist and establishment working hand in hand to scratch each other's back. Also, in other political Clinton news, Huma Abedin granted access to Hillary based on Clinton Global Initiative donor status. You know, we talk about the pay-to-play scandal. Well, newly released emails show Hillary Clinton's top State Department advisor and close confidant, Huma Abedin, granted access to then-Secretary of State during overseas diplomatic visits based upon the donor status to the Clinton Global Initiative. A December 4th, 2012 email obtained by Citizens United, shared exclusively with a Daily Caller, shows that Paul McElhenry, CGI's head, the Clinton Global Initiative head of member development, emailed Abedin asking if he could meet with Hillary Clinton during her trip to Ireland 2 days later. Abedin said that she could accommodate him, and he then asked if several other people, including two other Clinton Global Initiative sponsors, could also meet Clinton, and the names were then forwarded to Abedin for consideration. She returned and asked, are these legit CGI people? Meaning, are these actual donors? And it goes back and forth, and basically it shows that the Irishman who was a billionaire who donated heavily to the Clinton Global Initiative was granted access to a meeting with Clinton during her trip. The others, who were not donors, were not given access to Hillary Clinton. And there is more emails being obtained and gone through by Citizens United, which is suing the State Department for Huma Abedin's emails that show in April 2011, Doug Band, a longtime aide of Bill Clinton, who co-founded the Clinton Global Initiative, asked Abedin to invite Diego Donoso, an executive with Dow Chemical's offices in Japan, to a diplomatic session between Hillary Clinton and Naoto Kan, Japan's prime minister at the time. And this article from the Daily Caller, you can go there and read it yourself. I don't want to take up too much time. Goes out to lay out some of these intricate relationships between big money donors to the Clinton Global Initiative, the amount that they donated, and how they were able to meet Hillary Clinton and the times that they were able to spend with her. And it gives comparisons to people who donated $1 million, per se, you know, were able to get a meeting, to where other people who donated $100,000 were turned down. And it's from the emails, it shows that it was based on just the donations alone. So you want to meet with Hillary Clinton, even though she was in the State Department serving in a governmental capacity? Well, you better have had donated to her, you know, $1 million plus to her Global Initiative Foundation. And that's nothing new. You know, these WikiLeaks emails and other emails are constantly coming out showing the criminal relationships that Clinton continued to keep. I mean, I wonder how much money she's made over the years from speeches, from the donations, you know, from the Haiti earthquake relief fund that she looted. It's got to be close to $1 billion. And when you think about that, you got to ask, why is she even running for president? Does she need more money? Does she want more money, or is it the power?
And it's pay to play, obviously. Much of it, excuse me, much of it is pay to play. Clinton's campaign chairman had multiple dinners with top Justice Department officials during the Clinton email investigation. And Benghazi, if nothing else, spawned, or it really spawned the, caused the Clinton emails to be, her private server to be identified. If that's the only thing it did, And I will argue that's the only thing that did.
that investigation, because we didn't see any indictments coming from Benghazi, from the Select Committee, House Select Committee, or any of the Senate investigations, or any of the 11 or so investigations or dozen that were conducted about Benghazi, although we should have. But then again, that would have implicated many of the Republican establishment Republicans as well. But the day after Clinton testified in front of the House Select Committee on Benghazi last year, last October, Podesta, these are in his emails now, the Democratic campaign chairman, met for dinner with a small group of very well-connected people, very well-connected friends. Kadzik, Peter Kadzik, was one. And he was a top official at Justice. Now, dinner arrangement, this was shown in one of the Podesta emails that was released by WikiLeaks. I think it was 16, 15, I'm not sure. But it's just the latest example of this conflict of interest between Clinton, the campaign, and the federal and Department of Justice. It's as simple as that. Kadzik and Podesta, the Assistant Attorney General for Legislative Affairs, were in frequent contact. And it shows others being in contact with the Department of Justice. So you've got this overlap, this incestuous overlap between Justice, all of the federal agencies, and Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation. And you've got Huma Abedin, who's connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, who's connected to, this big push for female genital mutilation via her mother, Saleh Abedin, of course. And the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs, and of course their family publication, Huma's sister and Huma's brother, all pushing for Sharia law, all proponents of Sharia law. Huma is a practicing Muslim herself, and Huma is the close confidant of Hillary Clinton. And as I said yesterday, Huma, born January of America's Bicentennial, 1976, moved from Kalamazoo, Michigan, where she was born, with her parents to Saudi Arabia. Her father died in 93, and again, she was born in 76. She moved back with her family when she was 18. So she spent 16 years, her formative years, in Saudi Arabia, immersed in the Sunni Muslim culture. Moves back to the United States, of course, and goes to George Washington University, where she joins the Muslim Student Association, where she headed up, was on the board there, for the Islamic board. And then what happened was Anwar al-Awlaki came in and was the spiritual advisor under George Washington University of the Muslim of Council. So Anwar al-Awlaki, of course, was the Muslim who ministered to, or was the spiritual guide for, a handful of the 9/11 hijackers. So this is how close you've got this Muslim Islamic cult infiltration in our federal government. So all of you people out there, all of you Christians out there who are saying, yeah, you know, I really can't wrap my brain around voting for Donald Trump. And so you're going to cast your vote for Hillary, whether it is directly or indirectly. You think about that as you've got Muslim, these Muslim crazy ISIS, murderous bastards coming to cut your head off, rape your wife, advocate your daughter's genital mutilation. Okay, that's fine. So that's where you're at. That shows me your room temperature IQ and your reasoning, and you're a false Christian in my view. That's my opinion. And by the way, I believe I'm still allowed to have opinions without having a lawsuit filed against me. Am I right? Mm-hmm. And if not, bite me. Go on.
In the Podesta emails, 32741, I don't know if you saw this, but this kind of dovetails with what you were just talking about. Asian American candidates, Muslim American candidates. This was an email from John Podesta about candidates for positions inside of the government. Here is a compiled list of Asian Americans and Muslim Americans candidates for top administration jobs, sub-cabinet jobs, outside boards, policy committees, and they go on to make a list. And what they say is, the candidates for top jobs, I excluded those with some Arab American backgrounds, who are not Muslim, but but have Muslim names. Many Lebanese Americans, for example, are Christian. We want to stay away from the Christians, they say. And they want most who are listed appear to be Muslim Americans, except that handful who we noted may be Arab American, but of uncertain religions, especially Christians. And they go on to talk about how the, you know, out of these three lists that they gave, the two lists are the top list, and they want to fill positions inside the top levels of government with Muslim Americans. And they come right out and say it. And this is an email from 2008. And switching gears just before the break here, Sheriff Joe Arpaio was officially charged with criminal contempt by a federal judge yesterday. Tuesday, a federal judge ordered Arizona lawman Joe Arpaio to stand trial in December on a criminal contempt charge of violating the terms of a court ruling against a controversial sheriff in a 2007
Hillary Clinton is able to run for president, and Arpaio is going to be put on trial. That's the bizarre world in which we live today. What sense does that make? Hillary Clinton, the most corrupt,
murdering demonic entity out there.
Do we have music coming in or not? Or is that off for tonight?
I think it's off for tonight, folks.
So just bear with us one more night of this, and then we'll get back up. And JD, if you're listening to this broadcast, we need you to look into the website HagmanReport.com.
Thanks, Todd.
Oh, wait, we do have music. See, Todd, I mean, how great is that? How great is Todd? You be the man, Todd. It's the first time I smiled in about 6 hours, so thanks, brother.
We'll be back with Maria Kanise right after this break, and after that, hour two, Flip Benham, Reverend Flip Benham, and hour three, Pastor David Langford. Don't go anywhere.
That's what happens, folks. You know, you spend half the day with attorneys and talking to attorneys and going through legal papers, and you know, people think that we're not making a difference. I was talking to Dave Hodges today too, and of course he found some information in his state. 80% of the votes have been already cast, mailed in. Yeah, how does that happen? Legitimately, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm. Texas is having some issues too.
They're all having issues.
They actually flips. Greg Abbott made an announcement, and the Texas voting machines here are what they're doing. Texas County enacts emergency paper ballots after software glitch in voting machines. When the voting machines were when people were trying to vote straight Republican, the machines were switching their presidential selection to Clinton Kane. Most people undoubtedly dismiss these reports as conspiracy theories, but new government reports from Chambers County, Texas, show that might be truth to the voting machine irregularities. And they have enacted emergency protocols yesterday to revert back to paper ballots after the glitches were discovered in the county's voting machine.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, this is, again, the larger picture. I believe we look back, the larger picture is to cast doubt on the legitimacy of our elections, regardless of, if Donald Trump wins, of course, the legitimacy of our elections will be in doubt. And that's going to start a cascade, in my view, cascading a series of events. And I really want people to really pay attention. Now, in addition, that's going to make the time between the election day, whenever that has been officially, the winner has been officially decided, as well as, that moment forward to Inauguration Day, it's going to be one of the most dangerous periods, I believe, in American history. Now, if Hillary Clinton wins, I see a different, sort of thing taking place, but not too much differently. I do believe that will also be a very perilous time in American history. Watch for guns of all types to be purchased en masse, even more so than before Obama or you know, right in the 2008 time period, into 2012, as they were. Watch for that to happen. Watch for manufactured unrest, blood on the streets, and in addition to additional blood on the altar, citing Tom Horn's book. And just as to my comment last comment about how I spent my day, you know, I just want to say this. You poke the bear too much, the bear does fight back. And you know, when you the people in the alternative media, I have to give a hat tip to everyone who's out there really pushing hard for the truth. I really do. Thank you for being on the front lines. Because it's not easy, and people think that it's this cottage hobbyist kind of activity. It's not. Before we get to Maria Canese, author of Prepare for Persecution, who's going to discuss Clinton and Haiti, the relationship there, I want to bring your attention to Greenovative. It's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG power cell that produces electricity by adding salt water to the unit. It's a battery charger. It's the neatest thing I've ever seen. The newest development is this Super GMAG battery recharger with a replaceable magnesium power pucks. The Super GMAG charger will charge six AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours. And the power pucks, magnesium power pucks, are reusable. You can charge six AA or AAA batteries over 20 times per pair of these power pucks. You don't need sun, you don't need wind, or a hand crank. All you need is a little ordinary table salt, about 2 teaspoons worth, and a little water. You shake it for a few seconds, and the unit instantly makes electricity. And you can even charge your cell phone. I mean, it's just a great little device. Absolutely, you need it for your preps, your bug out bag. It's the Super GMAG is super affordable. It's lightweight. It weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable. It's EMP proof, environmentally friendly. What more can you ask for? The charger will provide convenient and safe power for recharging batteries off the grid and when other power sources are not available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. And it really has an indefinite shelf life. It'll charge an unlimited number of batteries just by replacing the power pucks. And even if you're in a pinch and you don't have any salt water, you can actually run it on urine. If you're alive, you have power. There's no moving parts to it. And it's really a great device, folks. Visit. Go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to Greenovative. You got to check it out. You've got to check it out. So go to HagmanReport.com and click on the link to Greenovative. It's a super, super device. All right, without any further ado, excuse me, I apologize for my voice. Like I said, I've been talking all day, listening, or talking probably more than I should have been listening, but talking all day. I'm going to go right to Maria Canese, author of Prepare for Persecution. Folks, if you don't have Prepare for Persecution, let me tell you, go to Amazon.com right now and buy it. It's a great book. It's been revamped, revised. I was honored to write the foreword to this book, and it's well needed. You talk about an essential for your bug out bag there, just Prepare for Persecution. And the proceeds benefit this marvelous, marvelous author, great Christian, Maria Canese. Maria, welcome to the Hagman Report.
God bless you guys. I'm afraid this is not exactly going to be uplifting, what I have to share here. I like to strengthen the brethren, you know, encourage the brethren, but this is, I've got some encouragement at the end. If I give rough stuff, I like to give a biblical antidote, you know what I mean? Steve Absolutely. Quayle has a Q alert asking people to pray and fast about the election, especially tomorrow, which is Thursday. And here's one reason why we need to do that. Both Bill and Hillary Clinton are into voodoo. In other words, we know they're witches already, or Hillary is, but it turns out, according to Doc Marquis, both of them are witches. And on top of that, they're both into voodoo. Voodoo is literally demonic. It hates the God of the Bible, it hates Christians, and it hates Christian morality. Therefore, if Hillary becomes president, then we're going to face some serious persecution. Both Bill and Hillary have participated in special voodoo rituals in order to get the power to become president. Bill did that before, Hillary did it in 2008. I don't know if she's done it since then. Probably not since the earthquake. The Haitians don't like them so much anymore, but at least not down in Haiti, she wouldn't have. But anyway, according to Doc Marquis, that would involve selling their souls to the devil. Doc Marquis says both Hill and Bill and Hillary are Illuminati witches, and Hillary is a higher level occultist than Bill is, which is probably one of the reasons why he's cowed by her. Plus, she's a pretty ferocious woman.
You know, and they both spent their honeymoon in Haiti, and it wasn't to build, you know, wasn't missionary work. And I just find that really odd. And of course, you're correct in the hatred by the Haitians, especially in southern Florida.
Yeah,
you know, the hatred against both the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation.
And rightly so.
Yes, yes.
Except that's not good for them to hate like that either. Hate will eat you up too. The Clintons tore them up, and now the hatred's tearing them up. That's a double whammy.
Well, that's true, yeah. But,
Go ahead. Here's a little thing about voodoo, okay? Voodoo rituals involve blood sacrifices. We know Satanism does. Voodoo does too, okay? Now, usually it's animals, but some voodoo people do human sacrifice, especially for really important things, like somebody with lots of money that's going to pay you to get the power to be president, right? When they did it for Bill, according to the Haitian publications, the word in Haiti is that a baby was sacrificed, not at the time when it was publicly done, but before. A lot of really nasty stuff was done at the location where that ritual was done with Bill Clinton more publicly later. They did it in the guise of we're celebrating the freedom of Haiti, we've gotten Aristide back, their democracy. Yeah, they got rid of this occult voodoo monster who was ruining the country, and then Bill Clinton forced him to sent troops down to force him to take him back, because the guy did him a favor. Did him some favors and stuff. Namely, he sent him a voodoo guy to help him get elected the first guy time. So in exchange for that, he gets Aristide back into power.
Wow. I mean, you can't even...
And they sacrificed a baby. You can't make this stuff up, right?
Wow. Yeah.
So we wonder how come they're so big on abortion? Well, it goes with the territory, doesn't it?
It does. It's
and being a warmonger does too, doesn't it? Kill it.
Yeah.
Let them die in Benghazi. Let them die in Syria. The more blood, the better, because the gods will be pleased and they'll do favors for you, right? You're paying them off. It's another form of bribery, isn't it?
Yeah, you could say that. It would be.
Anyway, if you got married, you wouldn't go to Haiti to do voodoo, would you? They did that in 1975. They weren't even running for president then. Well, Bill wasn't even, I don't know if he was even governor then. I don't know when that happened. But anyway, they went to a voodoo ritual on their honeymoon. Oh, gee, isn't that romantic, right? Hey.
It was a collegiate, intellectual, cultural, multicultural experience. I don't know. How do you even justify that?
Well, they've got two kinds of voodoo down there. One is for public consumption for the tourists, and that's real tame. Then they went to the real thing. And Bill was so pleased with it all, he wrote about it in his memoirs. It's so important, he wrote about it in his autobiography, for the public, no less. A man and woman became demon-possessed. He doesn't call it that, but it's obvious to us. The guy rubs a burning torch all over his body without getting harmed, and then he walked on hot coals without being burned. And then the woman went into a screaming frenzy, and she grabbed a live chicken and bit its head off while the thing's still alive. Now, you like that so much you're going to write about it in your memoirs? What kind of a weirdo is that, huh?
Yeah, that's rather... I don't even know how to describe something like that.
And on your honeymoon.
Yeah, it was the 70s after all, right?
Well, maybe they took enough LSD to make it seem like fun. I don't know, but
No, there's no justification for anything like that. But you're right. And a lot of people don't realize the depravity that we're, you know, you hear things like this, but you don't, or you hear, the suggestions about things like this, but you really, people don't really understand the serious nature of this. If people would listen to Russ Dizdar and understand the meaning behind some of these ritualistic events, then obviously they would really understand why things are taking place. Well, they'd understand. People.
There's a lot going on, yeah. Now, in 92, when he was running for president, Bill Clinton followed the advice of a voodoo priest, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the exiled president of Haiti, provided to him.
Right.
One of the things he had to do is during the last week of the campaign, he wasn't allowed to change his underwear. Had to keep wearing the same underwear day and night, 24/7.
For how long?
Well, and he put curses on Herbert Walker Bush. And there was a very visible result from that. The Haitians say that this is a result of the curses. Did you know that President Bush did projectile vomiting into the lap of the Prime Minister of Japan?
Oh, yeah.
He was in front of the world press and disgraced him in the eyes of the public. And the Haitians say that's because of those curses.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that event.
They blame food poisoning.
Bad sushi.
You got to come up with some kind of a reason, but the Haitians are sure it was the curses.
It goes back to that saying. It really doesn't matter what we believe. It matters what they believe. And in this case, the belief can be such that, well, the beliefs, yes, go on. I'm going to stop there. Go on.
I'm going to make a little aside here. I happen to know a woman who's a very godly Christian woman, the wife of a pastor, but she was raised by a woman who was, her mother was one of these old world, really vicious black witches, put killing curses on people. And when this little girl was growing up, her mother would say, you know, Mrs. So-and-so down the street, she's going to die. And within a few days, Mrs. So-and-so would be dead. So killing curses didn't work. Curses work. Now, one day, a Christian woman showed up at the front door and she said, I know what you're trying to do to me and it's not going to work. The Christian woman did not die, and shortly after that, the witch went stark raving mad, and she's been totally insane for years and years ever since then.
I'm going to kind of make a joke on this because of the uncomfortable nature of this. Not a joke, but a kind of a humorous reference. Is that like, I'm rubber, you're glue? You know, whatever bounces or what bounces off me sticks to you.
Well, I think it literally did bounce off.
Right. And again, and trying to inject a little bit of humor here, but that's when you've got that cloak of Christian cloak of armor.
Exactly.
Right?
I think what happened is the demons couldn't get they were sent out on assignment to get the Christian woman. When that didn't work, they got mad and went back and got the woman who sent them. What you sent him. And see, the Christian had protection by the blood of Jesus. The witch had no protection at all. At this point, if her daughter gives her a plate of spaghetti, instead of eating it, she will sit there for hours and keep counting the noodles over and over and over. That's how far insane she is.
Wow.
But she still puts curses on people. She remembers how to do that, including her daughter. Her daughter is very accident prone. She's never been able to kill the daughter, but the daughter has a lot of accidents. She did when she was visiting us. She fell down our stairs and broke her ankle.
Now this is because of, I forgive my ignorance, but the possession, I suppose, or wouldn't it be possession?
Well, yeah, she's that evil. She's possessed. Sure, you open yourself up to that to get powers when you invoke these spirits, right?
All right. There's a progression here.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
But the point is, this stuff's for real, but we need to keep remembering God is much more real. He's much bigger. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the finger, it's not a wrestling match. It's like squashing a bug, okay?
Right.
We need to keep that perspective, but we also need to be alert and aware and have our armor on and also do spiritual hygiene. In other words, repent, forgive, no long-term anger. The Bible warns us that gives place to the devil. It gives him a beachhead, a launching pad. We need to watch out for those kinds of things. We need to spiritual hygiene is very important. And then there's the authority to cast out demons, which is very valuable. But, you know, if you've got... One time we had a bunch of flies in the house and kept killing them. I mean, dozens and dozens of flies every day.
Where was Obama? Was Obama there?
Good point.
Or Hillary?
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, sorry.
Well, then the pest control guy discovered a dead snake in our crawl space. Well, when he got that out of there, all at once the flies went away. So there are two approaches to demons. One is keep chasing them out, and the other is get rid of the things that draws them. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, long-term anger, unforgiveness. And the Bible absolutely tells us we have to forgive or else we'll be tormented. We have to repent of sins. We have to invite God to clean our hearts. Spiritual hygiene. You know, if I let my feet get sweaty and stay that way, I'll get athlete's foot. We got to have hygiene. Well, let your spirit get equivalent, you'll draw other bad things. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And things are ramping up.
That's a perfect, in my view anyway, that's a perfect example of Hillary Clinton in many respects. What you're describing, both, on all sides of Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But go on. You know,
they've been attracting all this stuff. Okay, according to Haitian publications, the Haitian voodoo priest claimed credit for Bill Clinton's political success. He was reelected. In addition, although he got impeached, he remained in office and wasn't politically damaged by the impeachment. All Congress did was slap his wrist. I have a friend whose church has missionaries in Haiti. According to them, back in 2008, Hillary came to Haiti to participate in voodoo rituals in order to get the power to become president. Well, that didn't work. She became Secretary of State instead. Now she's trying to become president again. By the way, I read that when Senator Obama was in Kenya in 2007, he went to the witch doctors and had them do rituals to give him the power to be president. So we had two occult systems fighting one another for power there.
I do believe that's been verified, that during that trip, and you said 2007?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seven or eight.
Right. Mm-hmm. He was in that period of time prior. Yes, that's been verified, his meeting with the spirit guides. I don't recall the name that they assigned to the people that he met with. Not witch doctors, but the equivalent thereof.
They have some nice name. You know, they could call him a medicine man or whatever, some kind of a name. They've got names for the voodoo priests, too, but they're sorcerers and witch and...
Yep.
They're occultists, and yeah. Well, it's like you can call someone a medicine man or a shaman or a witch doctor. They're all the same thing. It means the same thing.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, here we go. When Bill Clinton went to, according to Aristide, the guy that was the president of Haiti that got back in power, he has a newspaper. According to his newspaper, Aristide developed a powerful grip on Clinton, Bill Clinton's psyche or spirit, through the power of voodoo.
Yep.
Because Bill Clinton voluntarily participated in the voodoo ritual, he placed himself under the spiritual control of the voodoo sorcerer or priest. And that means the same probably happened to Hillary, because she went down there to get to voodoo to get power to become president, too, in 2008. So Bill Clinton went there in order to get power, and in the process he came under the power of an occultist who was stronger in the occult than he was. Now, one thing struck me. This could be a foretaste of what we will see with the Antichrist. He will be a man who has become completely controlled by the devil. Since we're living in the end times, it's valuable to recognize previews of what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something else. Doc Marquis says that Bill Clinton is a charmer. This is an occultist who has a supernatural ability to charm people into complying with what he wants them to do. This is occult, and it includes putting charming spells on people. They can do it with large groups, even with the entire nation. And this nation at this point has become so secular, the Christians have gotten so many of them watered down and weak, and so much of many people who go to church aren't even real Christians anymore. They're just like the world. So they have no defense against this, you know? If we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we're obeying God, yes, but the Bible says submit to God, resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if you're not submitted to God. So how do you resist these spells? For instance, go to the Harry Potter movies where they actually put a spell on the audience in the course of the movie from the screen.
See, you know, I have to admit, I had a hard time really believing that could actually be done. In folks, Maria Kinesis, who we're talking with, the author of Prepare for Persecution, and other books, but go to Amazon, folks, and invest in your copy of Prepare for Persecution. Do it today, please. For a lot of reasons, the biggest of which is it's a required book. I mean, it's a great book, but having said that, just continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is important stuff. Very important. So, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Doc Marquis said that Bill Clinton's charming capacity is the main reason that Clinton is so effective in gaining the support of so many people, even in the midst of unbelievable and historically unprecedented scandals. So there's more involved with, like, the mainstream media following the Clintons and protecting them. There's more involved in that than just bribery and blackmail and brainwashing. There's an occult side to this. There's a supernatural component here. And this could explain why some people are so blindly following Hillary in spite of obvious reasons why they should shun her. She doesn't have that charm, but Bill does. He's a charmer, and he's using his charm on Hillary's behalf, because if she gets elected, then it will be a co-presidency. She will be top dog this time, but he will still be co-president. Now, I had an interesting thing happen when Bill was in power, and I read about some of the murders and some of the really horrible things they were doing, and I knew this stuff. I was studying it like crazy. But I had to watch a video. I got a news video. I bought it because it had something in there I needed, and before I could get to that, it showed Bill Clinton coming off Air Force One. And I felt myself so drawn to this man. I knew better, but this feeling of being drawn to him, it just pulled on me emotionally. Now, I had to shake myself and do a double take, and I threw it off. I was able to throw it off, but a lot of people would not be able to do that. You see, there was something there that had a lot more to do than anything natural with how he looked or was carrying himself. And I knew better. Because I'd been doing the research.
Maria, we've got about 45 seconds is all. And I'm sorry, I did take some of your time up here, and I didn't mean to do that, but we're going to have you back to talk more about this, especially as the election draws near. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that.
Okay, all right.
Well, that's not quite the right word, because it's hard to think about this stuff, but you know what I mean? I want to help the war effort, to put it that way. I want to get the truth out.
And also, you do such a great job doing it, too. Thank you for doing it. Go ahead.
There's an old saying, it's better to be hanged for stealing a sheep than for stealing a lamb. I'm already in trouble because I wrote the book, so I might as well go whole hog and expose everything I can, because I'm already in trouble, so let's do something to make it worthwhile, right?
There
you
go.
I'm going to pay the price anyway.
All in. All in.
God bless you guys.
All right. Thanks for coming on. You have a good night.
That was Maria Kinesis, author of Prepare for Persecution, available on Amazon.com. I highly recommend the book, and she's such a dear lady. She's a good friend of the show. Knowledgeable is all get out. I mean, really. In her book, when you read Prepare for Persecution, her expanded edition, my goodness. So much meat, so much information, and a lot of inspiration. Folks, we're going to break back. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Other side, Flip Benham. Next two segments. Stay right where you're at.